Yes, sir, Mr. Wilson. Yes, sir. Welcome back to the show. 9:20 here on a snowy Thursday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. We are here until 10 o'clock. That's when Steve Lloyd, Kenny Walls will take over in the box. AJ and CJ are on the drive this afternoon with Matty Viles. We've got a special Thursday edition of Offside with Eric Macromella this week. And then sends her off today. It's just, again, I don't like these Wednesday with Friday, sometimes Monday weeks with the Sens. I like my Tuesday, Thursday. I like my Saturday. Yeah. I like what I like. I don't like change.
I have turned into the full-time get-her-done guy.
I get her done.
Going right into the voice. We're going to have to chip in, get him a nice belt buckle there, because I'm kind of feeling a bit of a Liam Maguire, so there'll be a bit of a thumb in the belt. And then when you go into the get her done voice right there, JR, maybe a nice soft pair of cowboy boots.
Yep.
Not the full style, but just kind of the boot look. Hey,
how about a hat? Big old 10 gallon.
No.
All hat, no cattle.
Yellowstone kind of cowboy hat.
Yeah. Maybe some chaps.
You want to look like Rip?
Yeah. Get some Wranglers then. You got to go Wranglers.
Some assless chaps.
I'm feeling JR is more of a straw hat kind of, or. Or you go the dark kind of a circular, not like the full cowboy hat.
Is that Brett Favre? Did he? He was in full support of the Wranglers. Was that his team of choice?
Yeah,
in,
absolutely.
Commercials.
Yeah.
Wranglers.
Very popular in Mississippi.
Oh yeah,
but before he
nowhere else
cheated the system out of millions of dollars. Or
well, they're a very wealthy state, so that's no big issue there. They got cash everywhere in Mississippi.
Meat of the order says, "Good luck getting a number 17 jersey with Gitter done." Anytime soon. I'm still waiting for my Pinto jersey I ordered on Black Friday.
Oh.
That's from me to the order. I have heard the turnaround can be slow. If you want kind of the popular players, you know, your Kachaks, your Stutzlas, your Chabots, those are ready to go.
You can't go right to the shop and have her done right there, Jared?
Apparently not.
Okay.
You could probably get a
little machine there.
You can get name bars done in other places, but this is from what I understand, and if there's someone from the Sens listening right now and I'm incorrect, please let me know. But I believe their turnaround time, I don't know to meet of the orders point of Black Friday, because that seems like a long time, if it's that slow, but it does take a while.
But I would in full support as well, though. I think we got to at least discuss this again, though. For a clever fan going to the game, I'm feeling the Greg hyphenated. Done, like Gregor Dunn.
I'm with you on
that one. You're getting on TV, Hammer, automatically. Because if you show up with Getter Done,
it's just like the zoo, but you're all over TV you had a zoo hat.
Yeah, but
you
people,
get the Getter Done, Gregor Dunn. Gregor
Dunn. Yeah.
You're on, guaranteed. JR does not like this idea at all. He is not on board.
Carry on.
We have zero support.
Carry on.
I mean, we supported your Hamburglar masks, okay? Some of us even built some. Not me. I think that was Simmer and yourself. At least you could support us with the Gregor Dunn.
What do you mean support you? I'm the guy that came up with Get Her Done for Ridley Gregg, and all of a sudden you guys are trying to change it, and you expect my support.
We're trying to make it better.
No, Get Her Done is just fine. Thank you. Or if you listen, I'll allow Getzer Done.
Getzer Done.
If you want to put that on it on your number 17 Sens jersey and Getzer Done, I'm okay with that. I prefer Getter Done. And by the way, Done is spelled D-U-N. All right. So it's G-E-T-E-R apostrophe E-R dash D-U-N. Getter Done.
No. Okay. Get's got to be G-I-T.
Getter Done. Then it's Southern, and we're not Southern. Okay, we're a little highbrow. We're better than them. By the way, there's a Mr. Puffs apparently at Lansdowne. Someone is texting.
I said that.
No, Hammer did say
that.
I wasn't listening.
I was looking right at you.
Simmer, it's shisha smoked from a hookah pipe. That's from Dave.
Yeah,
hookah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so now you're up to date on
that. We got one at home. So very popular. Mira being from Syria. There's lots of those.
Syria being at Miria?
Yeah.
Is that where you were going with that?
Pretty much,
one?
Yeah.
Belleville has two strip clubs. I'm not sure why that came up, but.
Belleville does have, for the population of Belleville, it does have a few exotic clubs.
Wow. Well, you're off of the 401. The bikers got to have more somewhere to stop in.
I didn't hear that they had, not that when I was of that age that I was really asking around, hey, who owns this club? Which gang am I a part of here?
I'm having flashbacks because when I played in the Sioux, they had two strip joints and the one was called the Beaver. I just thought and it was
better.
And I just remember the people being so excited that they had a shower.
Hang on, like on stage?
Yeah, but
what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they actually shower. That's the show?
Yeah, but I just Well, you come out and work it in the mill. You want to have a little shower before you settle in for the buffet. But who would come up with a name like that? Jeepers. I know it's Canadian. Very Canadian.
Cabaret and the Boo Club in Belleville.
Oh. The what? The
Boo Club.
Boo. B-O-O?
B-O-O.
Do they still exist like you thought that, what's the name of the place? That's now closed down? Applebee's?
The Applebee's, yeah.
Do you know if the other two places still exist?
I believe it is still a exotic establishment.
Okay.
I'm not too sure if the name is still Boo Club.
And we do know, I will say this is a positive, we know that Ryan Reynolds has been to Belleville. And we know that will be the farm team when he purchases it because the movie Waiting was filmed in Belleville, Hammer.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that was the diner they ended up using, so that makes a lot of sense.
What?
I think I'm calling shenanigans on this one.
It's shenanigans because that if you've been to Applebee's, that whole restaurant was totally stolen and nothing would do nothing but damage to the great reputation of Applebee's. That whole thing was Applebee's
was.
101. That's what made me laugh watching the movie.
Phil in Kanata says he went to Belleville on the weekend and
why?
The establishment that you now there's two that you just spoke of.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure which one is closed.
Oh.
Well, maybe did he go on Sunday? Maybe it just wasn't open on Sunday.
They were all at church.
Were the windows boarded up?
Yeah, the pandemic affected things in a lot of different ways, including that.
Yep.
All right, here's DJ Smith, Ridley Gregg's debut last night.
Well, he was real good. I mean, he's just so competitive, and I hadn't seen him since training camp other than on TV, but on tape or what have you. But his hockey sense really high, can skate, really competitive. He's a hockey player, he's going to be a real good player. It's just, over time, is he ready now or not? But I'll tell you, tonight, he was effective.
13 minutes and 46 seconds, two takeaways, two block shots, 8 shots on goal, which is the stat line that sticks out more than anything. But to start the game, as he was, it seeming like, getting a shot on every shift that he played last night, there were a couple of really good defensive plays for a guy playing his first game. The one where he ended up somehow as the last man back on a 2-on-1 and made a nice little poke check. And then there was another opportunity right down in front of his own net where one of the Islanders was getting set to in a pretty good scoring spot anyway. And he poke-checked the puck away and started it going the other way. So in terms of being in the right position as a center, down low, in your own end, to DJ Smith's point. Yeah. Guy's just a hockey player.
Yeah,
just gets her done.
Yeah, and interesting, JR, I'm not really sure why there's been this idea or kind of thought of, maybe because he's smaller, that, hey, he's just kind of be, come in and run around and be a bit of an agitator in the National Hockey League. Like I said, it was a watered-down Summer World Junior, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you walked out of that tournament talking about him, Mason McTavish, Bedard to some extent, but he was one of the best players in that tournament until he got hurt. And as I said, when you track to the numbers while battling injury in the American League, again, you always find the highest comparison. But I still remember when Brad Marchand turned pro and, people were high on him. There was a thought being a little on the selfish side coming out of junior. You have to remember, he spent a very full season in the American League plus another, I think, 34 or 42 games the following year, JR. And then he came up, and as I said, but my point being, like lock this guy in as a top six forward. He is not a third-line player. That's not where he's tracking to at all.
For those that have not been following along the show this morning, Simmer has already traded Alex DeBrincat for the top four defensemen or top two defensemen that the Sens need and putting Ridley Gregg into that spot.
Yeah, well, it's certainly something that you look at, JR, for sure. And I do mean that sincerely. I just kind of look at where this is all headed in just general spots and slots. And I'm not even saying because I don't know that it matches up. The big thing in the predicament for the Ottawa Senators is that if Alex DeBrincat takes his $9 million qualifying off this summer, JR, yeah, I'm not sure what you're getting back for him or if you ride it, whatever you end up doing. But that'll be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah,
but
if you can't sign him to a long-term extension, this year, if you want to do that, if you have decided that, you've seen enough, and doesn't happen, mm-hmm. I guess you could let part of next year play itself out, but the Ottawa Senators are not in a position next year to if he is just playing on his 1 year qualifying offer and marching to UFA, they are not in a position, I don't believe, to use him as an own rental. In other words, keep him for the year and then let him.
No, work. No, seven pick overall.
No,
I agree.
No chance. No, so, no. And when is your and we have now discovered this year has let us know more than any year in the past 10 years. When's your best time to get your deals done? The best time is in the summer. During the year, it becomes very difficult. Maybe next year, this logjam with the salary cap where teams are capped out, maybe it's a little bit better next year. But at last check, right, the cap's only going up $1 million next year, right?
Yeah.
I think Gary Bettman has dialed back the expectation on that. Mm-hmm. It only goes up $1 million. I don't know whether the balloon that's kind of built up right now that's created this logjam with all these teams that are capped out, is it going to be way better next year? That a team is going to be able to absorb a $9 million player at the trade deadline. I think that limits your options. Yeah. Your best, I'll say this, if you decide you can't get it done, he doesn't want to sign here, or you've decided that after your 1 year trial run, not quite sure that that's the right fit, whatever it might be, agree or dis, from a team's point of view, your best time to get your deal done is in the summer.
Yeah, and you would hope it's a Kachuk situation, Jared, with an extension. And it's also too, again, I understand with Dorion making a lot of noise in the summertime. The Talbot trade, quite simply, was made to have forward progress. Whether it was make the playoffs or not, you traded out a guy 11 years younger. The DeBrincat trade, as sexy as it is, guys, brought a hell of a lot of risk. And you were on the clock, similar to Bobby Ryan, where they ponied up at the time, similar to Matt Duchene, where you had the two-year window. Yeah, you've got yourself in a spot here where it looks great on the surface, but first of all, to me, has not performed as a $9 million hockey player. You have not gotten the results, and how you kind of maneuver out of this in the summertime would be very interesting. Like I said, best scenario, if you're not going to sign him, would be to end up signing an extension with another team. And then the other trick to this, JR, that's very important, one of the things Alex DeBrincat will be looking at next year is a no-movement clause in his contract. Well, he's not eligible for that first year, so he is going to need either a handshake from the new ownership here in Ottawa, if they do it, or another team that he will not be moved in that first year. Otherwise, he's going to take his $9 million, going to play out the year, and then he's going to sign a long free agent contract with a no movement clause. So that's another thing, to another wrinkle
right
in this whole situation, that, take, you know, does the player want to, hey, I'll just take $9 million. I still know in a contract year I'm going to have a great year, and then I'm writing my own ticket, and I'm going to secure my future wherever I'm going.
My point on the Alex DeBrincat trade when it was made, and I thought at the time, and we can talk about how it's played itself out, at the time was, hey, listen, if it doesn't work out in terms of you either he decides he doesn't want to stay here long term after the first year, or you decide for whatever reason that you don't want to pay maybe what he's demanding, whatever it might be, that you could turn around and trade him for something close to what you gave up for him. Because I think, if we all remember correctly, at the time of the trade, when they traded the 7th overall pick, a 2nd and a 3rd for Alex DeBrincat, I think most people thought that that was a really good deal for the Ottawa Senators. That was a consensus of, man, that is a really good deal.
Yeah.
And my thought of it was, well, if it doesn't work out, that you'd be able to flip him and get somewhere reasonably close to what you gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And either in terms of, if it's not involving a high first round draft pick, that maybe you get a really good a good NHL ready player instead of the first rounder. Do you believe that's still the case based on the way he's played this year?
No, and it's not even just on the way he's played, Jer. I just don't believe that the circumstance. Now, if you're telling me that it's going to be like Kachuk, where he's willing to sign an extension with somebody, for sure. But one of the things that came out of the draft in Chicago, I don't know why they're going to lie, said, listen, that was our best offer. Well, the following year, with now only 1 year left at $9 million to a hockey player, oh, I think you'd have a really hard time. Well, first of all, nobody in the top 10 is giving that up. I don't know.
No, but I'm talking, if I'm the Sens, are you not looking, if you decide, and we're just speculating here, everybody,
because
I know some people are like, what are these guys going on about?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I would think the Ottawa Senators, if they decided to go down the road of trading Alex DeBrincat, is he not the big chip you've got to play to try to bring that defenseman you've been looking at for forever?
But I don't understand why the team would give the defenseman if they've only got 1 year at $9 million for DeBrincat. Like, you're paying.
Maybe it's a defenseman in a similar situation. I don't know. I don't know who that magical player is.
Yeah, I guess
I'm snapping my fingers.
No, I know. And I guess that's the point, though, from an Ottawa side. Well, then that person has been shipped to another team. They're a year away from unrestricted free agency, Jer. All I'm saying is that you have to hope that he's willing to sign a contract extension, whether it be with you or, as I said, that he's willing to do a Kachuk situation. Because if it's just coming back on the 1 year at $9 million, Oh, I think you've got yourself a real dilemma as to how you're going to handle that and what you're going to do if you're auto. Because the other portion of it, if you finally have a decent year next year and you're tracking towards the trade deadline,
yeah.
Well, you're not trading this guy out when you're trying to do it.
But that's the conundrum you're in then,
but
right?
But to your point, you know, this you have to make the decision and something has to happen in the summertime. But you're going to need Alex DeBrincat and Jeff Jackson to want to play ball and secure a long-term future with DeBrincat.
And he has said, in the most recent interview I've seen with Alex DeBrincat, I think Ian Mendez did a piece in The Athletic, I want to say December-ish, somewhere in there, in which, you know, and he was saying at that point still all the right things of, you know, enjoying playing here. You know, wasn't like, hey, I want to be here forever, but it also wasn't I'm a one and done.
Yeah.
It was kind of like keeping our options open, as he has said pretty much right from the start. Yeah. So yeah. I don't think there's any indication from anybody that he isn't enjoying his time here in Ottawa. But again, there's, and maybe there's stuff happening behind the scenes that we're not aware of. Doesn't seem like, it seems like everybody has agreed to kind of park it until the end of the year, but I guess surprises can happen as well.
Yeah, and without knowing, and again, they have been very creative behind the scenes with ownership and transition, JR. It would just seem a bit weird that, and again, more from DeBrincat's camp, like until they understand the direction of the franchise. And like I said, the trick would be if you were to sign the extension right now, new ownership comes in and says, listen, I know you got a no movement a year from now, but we're going to do the old HOSA and flip you out. It just doesn't make sense from a timing standpoint. So get to the end of the year. And as far as what athletes say, I wouldn't have any idea one way or another. All I know is that for years I heard Matt Duchene how much he loved being an auto center, and that's a case for every athlete, Jerry. I don't ever read anything into that. And what I think from a play standpoint, and hopefully it helps with Ridly Gregg, what was decent, well, good play, good to very good play at some point. To me, in the new year, as a bit of my marker, has gone from just this guy should be Mitch Marner. Like this guy at $9 million should be driving a line and be one of the best players on the ice every night, and that has not been the case.
He did show a little something extra last night. I thought both and Giroux playing with Gregg, and whether it's the new guy bump and the new guy enthusiasm bump, or whether there is something the way that that Ridly Gregg plays, because he did skate with the puck. You know, he's got some good wheel. There's no, he's a good skater.
Yeah, and they need that right now, Jared. Right. It wasn't there with Norris. Like you notice that Claude Giroux, once he set up in the zone, and even to some extent DeBrincat, that is exactly. And I'm not going Patrick Kane. But one of the huge parts with Patrick Kane was his skating through the middle, the neutral zone, to open things up for DeBrincat. So, and again, one sample size, but literally Ridly Gregg isn't going to stop being a great or very, very good skater while he's here in Ottawa. We'll see what the rest of it does. But, early signs were good, and I just expect in these rivalry games, I just think he's going to be a blast to watch Friday and Saturday.
So I have eight names written down of Sens forwards. Mm-hmm. Let's project ahead 2 years from now, two seasons from now. Here's eight names. Batherson, Stützle, Tkachuk, DeBrincat, Norris, Giroux, Gregg, Pinto. Who will be the top six? Who should be? And put everything, bake everything into your answer here, including age of players, contracts that are going to be needed for some of these players. Shane Pinto needs a contract this year as well. Yeah. Let's remember that. And Ridly Gregg will need one 2 years from now.
Yeah.
So bake all that into your answer of who should be the top six of those eight players for the Ottawa Senators. Batherson, Stützle, Tkachuk, DeBrincat, Norris, Giroux, Gregg, Pinto.
Yeah, I just kind of look at this. I'm assuming that DeBrincat will be moved this summer, JR. I don't think it really makes sense financially. I would slide Gregg right in that spot. Of course, Norris coming off the shoulder injury. And then within 2 years, Claude Giroux's contract's over. So to me, the obvious is Pinto. So that would be my top six. DeBrincat and Giroux will be gone.
Okay. It's interesting. This is the thing you always sort of stop yourself and you think, well, you know, we'll lock yourself into that and that's the way it shall be forevermore. Mm-hmm. And it's always changing and always evolving because while they have signed a lot of guys to long-term deals, there are still, again, some players that will, you know, Claude Giroux will age out of his contract. Alex DeBrincat has no contract beyond this year. Shane Pinto needs a new contract next year. How is he feeling about, a contract? Does he want a long-term deal? Pierre Dorion want to give him a long-term deal? Are they more of a bridge deal group? And then Ridly Gregg is the year after that. The four that are locked in with their contracts are Batherson, Stützle, Tkachuk, and Norris. Presumably those four will be four of the six.
And what you already did this year, though, is you became top-heavy salary-wise, JR. And again, I know people have beaten the dead horse. You shipped out Connor Brown. And again, if I could go into next year with Ridley Gregg at one-tenth, think about that, 10% of the cost of DeBrincat, 900 versus 9 million. Well, as I said, I know it's early, he's only 20 years old, but in trying to forecast ahead, I do that all day long. Question is, you're always kind of looking for DeBrincat and the one player. Well, now with the Formanton to the drop of Joseph and Paul to Brown, there's been an incredible loss in your depth as well. And then there are some okay players come through the system, but there certainly, by doing this, has created some real needs in some other depth spots, which are not the hardest to do. But again, anything, and that's where you also have to be in a war room, JR, of just sitting down and looking at the finances and crunching the numbers.
How much more value does Alex DeBrincat have as a trade chip at this year's trade deadline, given the fact that a team acquiring him, even without an agreed upon contract extension in this offseason, would have him, should they so choose, for, and presuming, Stanley Cup contender, would have him for two playoffs as opposed to one?
Yeah, oh, a lot more, Jer, and it's an excellent point. Now, question would be...
Right point by me. Nicely done. Thank you.
Excellent. Question would be, would you be willing, from an Ottawa side, to pick up some dough? And that relates to going to very good teams right now. Who has $9 million to fit in the salary
but
cap?
But it's not the money part, Simmer. Don't forget, his salary cap hit. His cap hit is only 6.4.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Now,
if you trade somebody at the trade deadline, essentially, it's the team only has to pick up a quarter of the cap. So a quarter of 6.4 is what, 1.6?
Yeah, that's true.
So you're looking at to acquire Alex DeBrincat, an acquiring team needs $1.6 million in cap space at the trade deadline, give or take.
If you have a third party, you mean, right? Like they can only pick, Ottawa could only pick up half of the salary cap hit. 3.2. Now, if they got a third party involved, you take it down to a quarter. Individual teams can't bring it down that much. They can only bring it down by half. Okay. Yep. But the other, and again, I guess just as far as costs, though, that's not going to negate the $9 million qualifying offer to the team in the summertime.
No, exactly.
And so that puts them in a bind of, okay, that is okay for what you just said. Totally feasible. Makes a lot of sense. And there might be teams that just say, hey, then we'll deal with it at the time, right? So, but you're probably right. I mean, hey, if you're honestly looking at that and some of the impact that could be made, you know, would we ever be willing enough? But I'd bet a lot that would probably be, again, without knowing if he wanted to extend his contract in the summer, it might be your best chance to get a return on what you gave up in the seventh pick overall.
It's hard. Every manager has an ego too, right? You made a big swap last summer, and it was the summer of Pierre as well. To turn around and have to trade said player, I mean, would be, you know, I don't want to say it's an egg on your face thing, but it's an acknowledgement that you didn't get it right.
But
you have to be willing to do that, right?
And again, I know every trade's different, but man, when you made the Zibanejad a second round pick for Broussard, okay, you justify you went to the third round of the playoffs. He had a hell of a recovery in Gustafsson and a first round pick. I thought at the time, I'm like, wow, you finally saw that through the other side, and then you traded for a goaltender 11 years older on an expiring contract who you may now have to flip out for. What are you bringing back then? Maybe a second-round pick, draft a goaltender they'll play in 2030?
Yeah, goaltending is another thing that's going to be a huge question.
The Talbot, the DeBrincat, and the DeBrincat, we'll see how it plays out. But in the case of Talbot, the premise of that deal was to basically fast-forward this thing, and that has not happened to the results of getting basically a rental goaltender that now you're probably going to sell out.
All right, thoughts on that? You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. When we come back, we are going to give away those 67s Gatineau tickets. So stand by. We'll have a question for you on that and much more as we roll on here for a Thursday. Sens win 2-1 over the Islanders. Off day today. They're in Toronto to play the Leafs tomorrow. And right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Welcome back, 9:51 on this Thursday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer here till 10. Steve Lloyd and Kenny Walls will take over after that in the box. All right, here's our question for you. To win the 67s Gatineau Olympique tickets, game is 2 weeks from tonight at TD Place Arena. Family four-pack of tickets to give away. It's TSN 1200 Shoot to Win night. So you could win the tickets right now, and I don't know how they pick the contestants. I think there's three in total. But if somehow, somewhere you get picked, you go on the ice, you could also win $1,000. You can put the tiny puck through the tiny hole in the TSN 1200 big board that's on there. All right, so you got a double win here potentially. So you're gonna text us the correct answer to 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. You're gonna do it in the next 5 minutes. And if you want to, you can suck up to Hammer as well to pick your, but you got to have the right answer. That's first and foremost. Okay, here we go. By my calculation, and I think I'm right, five head coaches, a current or former, of the Ottawa 67s head coaches have played at least one NHL game.
Ooh.
At least five.
Okay.
I am taking out Brian Kilray and current coach Dave Cameron from your options.
Why?
Because it's too easy.
Darn it.
Name one of the other three, since Cameron is the current coach, former head coaches of the Ottawa 67s who have played at least one game in the National Hockey League. Name one of the other three. Text us the correct answer to 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply, along with your first and last name. We'll draw one name, that person. And three guests are heading to the 67's Gatineau game on February the 9th.
Can I, I'm not going to blabber an answer, JR. Can I talk about when Brian Kilray went to the New York Islanders in 1984?
Okay.
They brought over a European coach, and I just remember how bad it went south. And did Dave Ellis' dad, did Bob not coach the rest of the year?
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of, but man, you talk about, and he was a assistant with Terry Simpson on the Al Arbor staff, right? And
correct.
And then decided, you know what? Going to come back, and that would have been after they won the Memorial Cup. So that was an interesting year.
Okay, so, all right, there's that. Quick update on our sense and sensibility, because Daniel, you are my brother, was our contestant yesterday.
Yeah. Falling from the church.
Yeah, was 5 for 5, matching your answers, right, Simmer?
Yeah.
Which means
usually guarantees victory.
Usually. Needs to beat one of you two guys, so needs to beat Hammer. You guys all agreed on two of the five questions, so we'll throw them out. So it was down to the other three.
Yeah.
Well, did we get them right, though?
You got John Rahm's first round score at the Farmers Insurance Open. You guys all picked that.
Yeah.
At 73, or total shot sends Islanders, 74.
Oh, my God.
You all missed that one.
Johnny just stunk it up, eh?
He did not have a good. Now, this was the tricky part. Where they play the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines has a north course and a south course. The south course is much more difficult than the north course.
Oh.
And on the first two rounds, you play one round on the south course and one round on the north course, and then they have the cut, and then everybody plays the south course on both Saturday and Sunday. Oh. John Rahm played the more difficult south course yesterday. Oh. I didn't give you that part of the equation.
Well, that's a little bit of false.
But he didn't have a very good round either at 73. Okay, so you got that one wrong.
Okay.
The other one you all agreed on, you got right.
Yeah.
Pageau PIMS plus points plus shots on goal, which was five shots on goal is what he had, versus the total of the plus minus of all six Sens defensemen. Even though they won, the total was minus one for Sens defensemen last night. So you got that one right.
Yeah.
Here's what spelled the demise of Daniel. First of all, you and he got this one right. Total points of the Raptors Sacramento game was 208.
Yeah.
Total of the uniform numbers of the goal scorers in Sens game last night, there were only three goals, was 114. So you got that one right. Claude Giroux's face-off percentage, Simmer, you and Daniel went with that one.
Yep.
He was only 36% last night.
Oh,
struggling.
The total of the margin of victory in the 10 NBA games was 76.
Oh,
so, Hammer, you got that one right. So it all came down to this one. Block shots by the Islanders versus the Sens. Hammer, you had that one. You had block shots.
Ooh, there was a lot, too, in the first period.
Ridley Gregg ice time rounded to the nearest minute. Simmer, you and Daniel were on that one.
Yeah.
And you predicted. You thought he was going to have a big minute that night last night.
Yeah.
He was 13:46, rounded to 14. There were 19 block shots by the Islanders. Make the final. Hammer, 3. Simmer and Daniel.
Bring it back.
2. So, Daniel, unfortunately, we cannot give you the tickets to the Flames game, right? 100 level seats.
Sorry, D.
The old pager take old Claude, the alumni, to the woodshed last night in the draws? What's going on here? They got some big boys, though, eh?
Good in the circle.
Yeah, I would assume that that's one of their few strengths. They got some bigger boys.
Pageau was 60%, 9-6 last night in the circle.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that.
Okay.
I wanted to do the Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day, which we took us a while to come up with because we wanted to do a Ridley Gregg question.
Ridley
I don't know
Scott.
If you noticed. Ridley Gregg for our purposes. he was rather a big storyline from last night's game. So here's what we came up with. What will the Sens do with Ridly Gregg's season? So this is your, not what you want to happen, but what you think will happen with Ridly Gregg for the rest of the season. Is he full-time with the Sens the rest of the season? Is he up and down with the B-Sens, gets sent down, gets called back up at some sort of that scenario? Or at some point, is he sent back down and stays in Belleville for the rest of the season? It's not what you think should happen. It's what you predict will happen. Full-time in Ottawa, up and down, or goes down to Belleville and enjoys Slapshot's wings for the rest of the year. Yeah. Those are your three options. Simmer, yeah. Prediction, please.
Oh, mark it down. He'll be here the rest of the year. You're trying to sell hope, trying to entertain the crew, and especially with Norris going down, the negativity. That, like Josh Norris, it's yesterday's news now. He's at all these showing up in the dressing room. I see him at cocktail parties, talking to sponsors. It's all about Ridly Gregg at this point. So I really do, actually. I think he'll be here the rest of the year.
Will he be on the cover of Faces magazine already?
He's probably there now. He's
doing his photo shoot.
You know what
with
he
Sean?
Said? He said to his dad, he said, "Listen, Dad, go down and get my car from Belleville. You get her done. I'll go. I got a photo shoot. You get her done with the car. Mom and I'll go clothes shopping."
There you go. All right, Hammer.
Write it in pencil because he'll be up and down between the Sens and the B-Sens. Yeah. He'll be in and out of the lineup for the rest of this year. My guess is, too, that's what probably is leading. I think you still have Tyler Mott, who's going to be coming back from injury. You still have some contracts that are coming up, filling in roster spots and that. And I don't think it's a bad thing either. Get some confidence here with the Senators. Go back down to the American Hockey League. Dominate there and then maybe come back up for the final five games.
You thought that one would be ruling the day?
I thought so.
You are incorrect. Full-time in Ottawa is 68% right now. And again, we want to make sure we worded the question correctly so that people would interpret it correctly, which is their prediction of what will happen, not what they want to happen. And people are on board with Simmer. He's here to stay, 68%. Up and down's at 28%. I'm with you on that one, Hammer. I still think there's a scenario where Ridly Gregg does spend some time in Belleville at some point this season. Only 5% are thinking at some point he gets sent down and will remain in Belleville for the rest of the season. So we'd love your vote. TSN1200.ca, our tool and equipment store web poll question of the day.
And what makes sense to what you guys are saying, JR, is that when Mott comes back and Kostelec back in the lineup, then you're sitting Brassard, you're sitting Gambrell. So you got a couple of one-way contracts. So even at that, you send them down, then the possibility
contractual is a big one to think of.
Yeah, and then the other part is that, you know, if you did that, then if towards the deadline you flip out Mott, I don't know about Brassard, Watson, if those guys are on the move, but if a roster spot then opens up, that's a possibility. But as I said, the other part of, I don't even want to say in getting to sign, but if this continues to go well between DeBrincat and Drew, that's also a factor part because for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked this year with DeBrincat with it. And again, only one game, Jared, but there hasn't been can you think of a centerman between Stutzla, Norris, and Pinto where you felt any type of chemistry?
Not for an extended period of time.
Yeah. This is only one game. And all I'm going on is that, hey, the next three games, if it continues along this way, it'd be awfully hard to kind of pull him away from those players and then just sit out a couple of fellas.
All right. Next chance to see him comes up tomorrow night in Toronto and then back here facing Montreal. So two rivalry games coming up over the next couple of nights. And you are advocating and predicting a feisty Ridly Gregg, because we didn't really see that part of it last night. And whether he dialed it back on purpose, whether that was the coaches being in his ear going, hey, I know you want to kind of go Tasmanian Devil on the other team here. That's in your DNA. But just dial it back a little bit and just get her done in terms of the hockey stuff. And he got her done.
Well, and the other thing, if
follows orders well.
Well, if you called him up, JR, and put him in the bottom six, there'd be a bit of a perception of get out. And I do wonder, and not that you can tell a competitor like that, hey, be careful out there or don't put yourself in a compromising situation. But when you're coming in playing with two world-class players like DeBrincat and Drew, you've got to take a more methodical approach to the game, right? I don't need to just be out there running all over the place. I got a chance here, and that's a beautiful part about him. He is not out of place playing a top six role. You know, I mean, big pitcher, do you know what I mean? So, I think that allows him to, you know, and against Toronto and Montreal, we'll see a little bit different. The only thing, if you're one of his teammates, be ready for the Jack Eye. Because chances are he'll probably slew foot Jack Eye or somebody like
that's
that.
That's okay. So Kostelic will be there. He's willing to take on the Jacker.
Yeah, but after the Lowry situation, we just go
just,
slow.
Just
on the
hug
Jack
him in tight. Just do a hugathon. Yeah. That works too.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we got a winner?
We have a winner.
Okay, there were three options.
Yeah.
Who's our winner?
Our winner is Randy Artell.
Okay.
With the answer of Peter Lee.
Peter Lee. Okay, there you go. Nice job on that one, Randy.
And Peter Lee was a head coach of the Auto 67
He was. He's listed as that in 1994-95.
Oh, all the way. Okay, yep. Okay. Wow.
Your other two options going in our Wayback Machine. This is pre-Brian Kilray. Leo Boivin, of course, the pride of Prescott, played in the NHL and coached the 67s. He immediately preceded Brian Kilray.
Okay.
And the most recent example, and the name who probably did it come up the most, is Jeff Brown. Jeff Brown.
Oh, I forgot. I was thinking of the, what's the fellow that, was it Chris Byrne? That was
yes.
Is he scout with LA?
Yes. I don't believe, I didn't look up Chris because I don't think he played.
No,
all right. So Leo Boivin, Peter Lee, Jeff Brown were the other former or current Ottawa 67 coaches who have played in the NHL if we took away Brian Kilray and Dave Cameron. So congratulations. Our winner gets four tickets to see the 67s take on the Gatineau Olympique at TD Place Arena Thursday, February 9th on TSN 1200 Shoot to Win Night. I'm not going to guarantee, Simmer, you and I will be giving away $1,000 at that game, but I'm feeling pretty confident about it because we'll be cheering in the contestants.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I do think the two of us should get an opportunity to have a little test drive. Before we do it, maybe Kenny Walls will come down.
Yeah, hey, maybe pregame.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
All the fellows are doing the warm-up?
sure
they wouldn't mind.
Oh, no, there you go.
Guys, just head over to the sides here. Oh, contest
my God.
Here.
Well, right. Imagine us just be a mess there, getting hit by players, hit by pucks. That would not be good.
All I know is I'll be buckets off.
Yeah, hey, that's true.
Protect the flow.
Oh, especially for warm-up. Hey, you got to take a look in the mirror. Hey, good call by you.
Time for us to wrap the show.